Novelist Jennifer Haig will be at the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts tonight at 7 o'clock to discuss her new book, Heat and Light. It is a significant and timely novel. Haig returns to Bakerton, Pennsylvania, site of her best-selling Baker Towers and News from Heaven, to explore a community exhaustively stripped of its natural and material resources, its inhabitants struggling to make sense of a world increasingly out of their control. With Heat and Light, Haig takes a bold and timely turn onto a global stage and into a non-linear narrative winding through the 20th and 21st centuries to explore the issue of fracking and how people deal with it. Again, the title of the book is Heat and Light, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Jennifer Haig to the roundtable this morning.
It's great to be here, Joe.
You will be at Odyssey Bookshop tonight talking about this novel. You have written about this place before. Tell us how you came to this particular subject and what you ultimately wanted to discover.
This novel is set in a fictionalized town called Bakerton, Pennsylvania, and it is a town I've written about before. This is the third of my books that are set in this place. Bakerton is modeled very much on the town I grew up in western Pennsylvania. And this particular book looks at what's happening in western Pennsylvania right now, the controversy over natural gas drilling.
You did not want it to be, from my understanding, a book about fracking, though.
It really isn't. It's a book about how people's lives unfold after a moment of change. For me, a novel is always about the moment after which nothing will ever be the same. And that is certainly true for this community once the gas drillers come to town.
When you take on a subject like this, do you have to look at it? I mean, do you go into it as an investigative reporter and say, okay, let me find out as much about this, even though it's the town you grew up in?
A little bit of that. I did quite a bit of research for this book, but I have to say research is a very, very small part of writing a novel, even a novel with this many moving parts. I spent the first year or two learning about natural gas drilling, of course, and about all the different sorts of people who work in this industry and are affected by it. But in the end, all that research got me maybe 10% of the way to a novel. The rest of it is an act of imagination, and this will always be true in writing a novel. I think of novel writing, like novel reading, as an exercise in empathy. So really what the writer is doing is what actors do when they're playing a character. The idea is to tunnel deep inside a person and see the world through his eyes. So when I'm writing a character from a particular point of view, I take that character's side, I adopt his views in all things, even if I know that 2 weeks from now I'll be writing a different character who's on the other side of the argument.
The town that you're writing about and the town that you lived in, it's a coal town. And after the coal mines closed, a lot of problems developed within the town. I'd like you to talk about that, but also talk about then what opportunity fracking brought to the people of this town. And was it looked at very warily, or was it something that was thought of as an answer to their prayers?
The first part of the question is easy to answer. After coal left, virtually nothing was left. Virtually no opportunity was left. In this part of Pennsylvania, that happened beginning in the early 1980s. And by 1990, it was pretty much all over for the coal industry in this region. And sadly, nothing much appeared to take its place. So you have a community that has had very little good news in the last 25 years. It's a very hard place to make a living. Most of the young people have moved away, and those who remain are just eking out a living in whatever way they can. The main employers in this town are nursing homes and prisons. And sure enough, I have a couple characters who work in those places. When natural gas drilling comes along, a lot of people do view it as a magic bullet. It seems like manna from heaven. A lot of these are people who have memories of the boom years of coal mining, when it was possible to graduate high school, get a good job that could support a family for 30 years, and never have to worry about your livelihood. Those days are long gone, and unfortunately, natural gas does not deliver that kind of economic promise. It does offer a few people an opportunity to make a whole lot of money. If you happen to own a lot of land in exactly the right spot, and you're a good negotiator and knowledgeable, and you sign a lease with exactly the right company, you stand to make an awful lot of money. But most people are not in that situation. Most people don't have enough land or any land at all, or the land they have is not in the right place, or they're not knowledgeable enough about this issue not to be hoodwinked when they sign a gas lease. And all these other people who are not making any money are impacted by the difficulties experienced by the community in fracking. It's hell on the quality of life in these towns. There's incessant truck traffic. There's just noise on a scale you cannot even imagine. There is real danger to the water table beneath the land. It doesn't always go wrong, but on a few occasions it has gone spectacularly wrong, and you can never be sure whether your community is going to be lucky. So it's an opportunity that everybody pays for, but only a few people benefit from.
You write the book in a non-linear narrative way, and I assume a lot of that comes from what you were just talking about, which is really the history of Pennsylvania and its peculiar history when it comes to these various energy needs.
Yes, exactly right. You know, part of the reason why Pennsylvania's response to gas drilling has been different from other states is that Pennsylvania has always been an energy state. The first oil well in the world was drilled in Pennsylvania. Most people don't realize this. Then we had 150 years of coal operators running roughshod over the landscape. We had deep mines. We had strip mining. We had Three Mile Island, the worst nuclear accident in American history, also happened in Pennsylvania. So this is just the latest chapter in Pennsylvania's life as an energy state.
Do you find the nature of the people and the characters different from what you grew up with, or are those same people with the same interests still there?
It's a lot the same people, but of course the world has changed, and
sure,
that has changed the quality of life there. When I grew up in Pennsylvania, this was pre-internet, and so if anything, the community was more isolated then than it is today. So in many ways, people in this town have more access to the outside world. They're better informed. They're more cosmopolitan than they once were.
When you think about this issue of fracking, it is certainly a very politicized issue, and I'm curious as to how you went about to deal with the politics within the novel and ultimately what you want to leave readers with at the end.
Well, I think, you know, it's what I said about empathy, really, that to me is the highest purpose of fiction writing. It's to give people a deeper understanding into each other's souls. And I think in a controversial case like this, there's always a real challenge to understand the perspective of people on the other side. So I think a lot of what comes out of this book is an inside look at how people on all sides of this issue think about it and why they believe as they do.
Which is different than how New Yorkers viewed it.
Yes, absolutely. New York does not have this history as an energy state, and I think there is much less tolerance for the environmental degradation that comes with gas drilling. There was a long, concerted political effort in New York State to place a moratorium on natural gas drilling, on fracking specifically, and that measure was eventually passed. The Governor Cuomo in New York has supported it, continues to support it. That has never happened in Pennsylvania. Mm. And part of the reason is that for people in that region, prosperity has always come with a side order of environmental damage. It's almost expected. Anytime you talk about gas drilling with people in Pennsylvania, they're quick to point out, well, coal mining wasn't so clean either. Steel making wasn't so clean either. There is this binary way of thinking that you can either live in a prosperous community that's really dirty or a poverty-stricken community that's really clean. And they don't see a lot of middle ground because in their history, it's always been one or the other.
Jennifer Haag will be at the Odyssey Bookshop tonight at 7 o'clock. talking about the new novel Heat and Light, which is published by Echo. Jennifer Haig, a great pleasure. Thank you very much, and have a great time at Odyssey.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you very much. Again, the title of the novel is Heat and Light. It is published by Echo. The Odyssey Bookshop event is tonight at 7 o'clock, and you can find out more information about it by going to odysseybks.com. odysseybks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.